This is your tech news briefing for Wednesday, January 20th. I'm Amanda Llewellyn for The Wall Street Journal. It's President-elect Joe Biden's inauguration day. If you take a look at your social media feed today, you might be seeing a whole lot of content that celebrates that fact or that laments it, but probably not a whole lot of both. On today's episode, our senior personal tech columnist Joanna Stern will join me to talk about social media algorithms and their outsized impact on how we see the world. She'll also share some ideas for what you can do about it. That's after these headlines. Netflix kicked off the tech earnings season yesterday, reporting that it added a record 37 million subscribers in 2020, and that it had topped 200 million total subscribers for the first time. The milestone was powered, of course, by consumers' demand for at-home entertainment options during the pandemic. We'll get reports from Intel, IBM, and others in the coming weeks. Microsoft is among a group of companies that'll invest more than $2 billion into General Motors' driverless car startup Cruise. The financing brings Cruise's valuation to $30 billion, up about $10 billion from just 2 years ago. Under the terms of the deal, Cruise will use Microsoft's Azure cloud computing service to help it roll out autonomous vehicle services. And the website for the alternative social media site Parler is now reachable again. You might remember that Apple, Google, and Amazon had effectively blocked Parler's app and website in the wake of the Capitol riot. But now, we report that Parler has turned to the internet services company Epic as its new web domain registrar. Reuters also reported that Parler is using an IP address controlled by a Russian-owned tech firm. The journal has not independently verified Reuters' report. But Parler is still a long way off from normal functionality. The platform's homepage only contains a handful of messages, including its CEO and other executives promising to welcome users back soon. Cloud experts say getting fully back online could take a while. The larger cloud vendors like Microsoft and Google are not likely to take Parler on as a customer after Amazon stopped supporting it. And smaller vendors could struggle to handle Parler's large user base. All right, coming up after the break, we'll stay on this topic of social media to talk about how algorithms shape the way that we see the world. That's next. Between the Capitol riot and the resulting heightened security at Joe Biden's inauguration later today, recent events have underscored that social media algorithms have had a big hand in shaping our worldviews, and that they can have real-world implications. So, how did we get here? And what steps can we take to reduce their hold on our lives? Our senior personal tech columnist Joanna Stern has come up with a few ideas on this, and she joins me now to talk about them. Hey, Joanna. Welcome back to the show.
Good to be here.
So I want to start with a little bit of history here. When I first got social media, it was all about reverse cron. You saw things in the order that they were posted with the newest stuff at the top. When did that change and why?
You know, it originally started happening with Facebook. Facebook moved to this sort of algorithmic, we think we are going to help you sort through this stuff better than you can sort through it, around 2009. But when we really lost whatever remaining control we had of those feeds was 2016, because that was the year Twitter moved to an algorithmic feed and also Instagram moved to an algorithmic feed. So basically all of our social apps moved to a feed that was picking out what they thought we would be interested in based on lots of signals versus showing us everything that was in our feeds.
And, it might sound like an obvious question, but what kind of impact has this transition to algorithmic feeds had on platform and off?
Well, the big thing is that it made us way more into social media. And for most people, that's totally fine. We see more of the information or the things we're interested in, right? It could be Taylor Swift's new album. It could be friends who have gone to some party or used to go to some party before COVID. It could be more photos of your cats or dogs, whatever it is. But the flip side of that is that those algorithms also maximize the reach of the incendiary, the attacks, the misinformation, the conspiracy theories, things that people are inclined to share because they are outrageous or because they just think that they will get more shares and likes. Well, that stuff continued to spread further and further, and it also pushed us into our own bubbles. We only saw the things that we were interested in seeing versus all the things that were out there.
And to be clear, a lot of the outcomes you just mentioned are not just the result of social media, right? Or even of the algorithms, are they?
Oh, 100% they're not. We can, first of all, not completely blame social media for anything. blaming technology alone for the problems in our country right now is not a thing we should do. And then secondly, when we are pointing the blame at social media, we can't just point it at the robots. We have to remember that humans are still running these companies. And if we've learned anything from the last couple of weeks, the two humans running, one running Facebook and one running Twitter, have a lot of control over what does and doesn't appear, specifically the President of the United States.
Got it. Okay, so we've laid out this sort of hairy problem surrounding algorithmic social media feeds, but I also want to talk about solutions. And you wrote a column over the weekend with a few ideas on that front. The first solution you wrote about removes algorithms from the picture entirely and ads as well. So tell us about that solution.
Yeah, I think the real big thing here, and I talk about one social network in particular, it's called MeWe. It's fairly new. But the biggest thing that this social network is doing, and the founder, whose name is Mark Weinstein, what he's trying to do is he's just trying to disrupt the business model. He's saying the main reason we have gotten to this point is because social media companies have prioritized the business, the money of advertising. And so they've created these feeds that can be hyper-personalized because then they can tell us exactly what things to buy or what ads to click. And that is what's created this larger issue. So with MeWe, what you get is really Facebook, I don't know, maybe 2.0, 3.0, which is just you follow people, you follow friends, families, pages, et cetera, and you get a chronological feed. And there's no algorithms and there's no ads. The idea here is that you will pay to use this social network. There's a pro or premium service offering, subscription, obviously. You can pay to unlock emoji packs and different types of features like journals. And his idea here is like, we just get rid of the business model and we build a social network that was meant to be what we were supposed to have, which was a way to connect with family, friends, and interests that we're interested in.
Are there downsides to this approach? Does it cover all the bases?
Look, there's going to be downsides to any approach. To me, the biggest issue here is that we can't go back to a purely chronological feed with our main social networks. Because we follow so many things there and there's such an influx of information and accounts and posts, it's going to be hard to find anything. And that's what Twitter, Facebook, Instagram all told me about why they moved to the algorithmic feed.
And just to stick with MeWe for one second, you know, this platform has gained popularity, especially in recent days after mainstream social media sites have moved to crack down on President Trump and his supporters. How do they respond to that newfound popularity?
Yeah, on one hand, they want to be the anti-Facebook. On the other hand, they have people coming to them because they're fleeing Facebook. And they are, again, some of these people are going there and they're talking about misinformation. They're talking about ways to incite violence, just like any platform might have. And so they seem very committed to moderation, unlike Parler. The founder there said, we will do heavy moderation. We have hired many moderators. We will continue to try to make this a network for what he says is for the good.
Got it. So I want to point out, Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg has famously said that there will always be a free version of Facebook and that the way that they're able to make that happen is through ads. The other mainstream platforms have a similar perspective. And so it seems unlikely that they'll ever follow MeWe's lead and remove algorithms and ads entirely, which I think brings us to the second solution that you wrote about, which is to change the algorithms. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, experts really think that the biggest thing that can happen is that these companies get serious about deprioritizing the outrage and the anger and the conspiracy and the misinformation. And they prioritize trustworthy and thoughtful and reputable sources of news. We've seen this already. We've seen it happen. Facebook did this before the election. They're currently doing it now. We've also seen it happen on YouTube, where YouTube has decreased the promotion of conspiracy videos after changing algorithms. So we know it can be done. We just need some more consistency to it happening.
Yeah. And how likely are we to see the platforms take that kind of action?
I think after what we've seen over the last couple of weeks, a lot of options are on the table. I think this is going to now be a huge theme of the year. I think there's also regulators, right? Regulators could step in. They can, beyond the various antitrust suits, look at different rules and regulations around the promotion of extreme content and the use of algorithms around it.
Okay. And finally, the third option that you wrote about is to put that control over the algorithm into users' hands. What would that look like?
Yeah, I think there's two things here. One, we need to have more transparency. We need to know why we're seeing the things we're seeing. Why are certain groups recommended? Why are certain types of posts coming up in my feed, but not others? And Facebook's actually started to do this. You can go into your Facebook feed and click on something that says, why am I seeing this post? And it will give you, you know, pretty basic answers. You've interacted with this friend before, you read this article or spent time on this profile before. So that's one big step. And I think they need to do that. And they may need to make that much more visible to the user. The second is just giving us more tools about what we do see. And I do not think that just going to a chronological feed helps us with this, but it is an option. It is something that I hope more people will start to use or at least toggle to so they can start to see, oh, I do follow these news organizations, but they don't pop up in my main feed. Or I do follow these people and maybe they have views that I don't agree with, but that's why they don't appear in my feed anymore.
All right, so we've run through the solutions that you laid out. And Joanna, before I let you go, I just want to ask, why is taking a hard look at algorithms and potentially changing the way they work so important?
It's really about the information we see. And you can argue that this has always happened. We've always chosen our own media diets and our own ways of viewing the world. But with the tech companies in charge of that, that gets a lot more skewed. And it's very easy to fall into rabbit holes where we just see the information we want to see, the information we agree with. And we need some better solutions to seeing the world as a whole versus just seeing the world through our own lens.
All right. That's our senior personal tech columnist, Joanna Stern. Joanna, thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
That's it for today's tech news briefing. You can find Joanna's full column as well as more tech stories on our website, wsj.com. And if you like our show, please do rate and review us in your app store. It really does help. I'm Amanda Llewellyn for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.